This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We offer a warm welcome to all our listeners from the Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CD, cassette tape, or printed copies of the sermon will follow the program. Please join us again next week on this station for Worship With Us.
How do you deal with the guilt in your life? This is a question that each one of us should be able to answer. For guilt is a killer. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, today as we see what guilt can do in a person's life, you will speak to us. Take it away from some of the gruesome things that we will hear in the text, and bring it into our own lives, where we try to smooth over our guilt, deny it, run from it, project it. Give us the grace to listen to what you're going to tell us today. Turn your eyes on Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Oh,
friends in Christ. The Bible is full of many beautiful stories which lift our spirits when we read them. But today's story of John the Baptist and his execution under Herod is one of the most hideous, horrible stories that we could possibly read. And yet that is also found in the Bible. It is a chosen part of the Bible that makes up the lectionary. And as I've mentioned to you before, the lectionary is that choosing of text for the whole year. And the preachers are asked then to limit themselves to their Sunday morning sermons from the lectionary. Not an obligation, but it's recommended because it's good discipline. Along with this, You could ask the question, well, why did they ever put such a story as this into the lectionary? And the only answer that I can come up with is, this story has a powerful message for people of all age. The message addresses the question, how do you live with guilt and fear? Now, just to review, I'd like to take the time to read this whole text to you as it is recorded in the 6th chapter of the Gospel of St. Mark, verses 14 to 29. Maybe you'd like to follow in your Bible. Mark 6, 14 to 29. King Herod heard about this, for Jesus' name had become well known. Some were saying, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and that is why miracle powers are being done all around us. Others have said he is Elijah, and still others claim he is a prophet, like one of the prophets of long ago. But when Herod heard this, he said, John, the man I beheaded, has been raised from the dead. For Herod himself had given orders to have John arrested, and he had him bound and put in prison. Now catch the horror of this. He did this because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, whom he had married. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. So Herodias nursed a grudge against John and wanted to kill him. But she was not able to, because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him to be a righteous man and a holy man. When Herod heard John, he was greatly puzzled. In other words, he didn't understand what he was saying, yet he liked to listen to him. Finally, the opportunity came. On his birthday, Herod gave a banquet for his high officials and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. When the daughter of Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and the dinner guests. The king said to the girl, ask me for anything that you want, and I'll give it to you. And he promised her with an oath, whatever you ask, I will give you up to one half of my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what shall I ask for? The head of John the Baptist, she answered. At once the girl hurried into the king with the request, I want you to give me right now the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king was greatly distressed, but because of his oath and his dinner guests, he did not want to refuse her, so he immediately sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. The man went, beheaded John in the prison, and brought back his head on a platter. He presented it to the girl, and she gave it to her mother. On hearing of this, John's disciples came and took the body and laid it in a tomb. Can't you just see what a horrible story it was? Let's kind of play it back in our own words to see if it might communicate a little bit better to us here. King Herod had a bad past. He was truly an immoral man. He had relationships with many different women. And down deep inside, this must have caused that man, Herod, to have some real guilt. That's why he went out to hear John the Baptist. This man was talking to him. What puzzled him was that John the Baptist said, if you will repent of your sin and trust this Christ who is coming, you will be forgiven and become one of God's children. He was puzzled at that. So are millions of others in every age. How can Jesus Christ, dying at a cross, being raised again, pay the price for my sins. It doesn't seem to make sense. Well, it didn't make sense to John the Baptist, but I'm assuming from what I have read in this text that he went back again and again and again. And finally, one day, he said to John the Baptist, when he was leaving the church or the church in the wilderness, I'd like to have a talk with you privately someday. This caused John some concern, but nevertheless, he went. And as they were talking together, the question was, would John now be faithful to the message? Or would he give him another song when he saw him eyeball to eyeball, one different from that which was given in front of a lot of people? Well, John was faithful to the very end. As they were sitting there visiting, and Herod was asking about repentance and what it is, John was telling him it's a sorrow for your sins and turning from it and turning to this Lord Jesus Christ who had come. John couldn't understand it. So now he says, well, what are my sins? I don't know what they are. And then John the Baptist said, you know, King Herod, you are living in adultery. You have taken your brother Philip's wife and you have married her, and that you cannot do. That is unlawful. What are you going to do about it? Well, this did not please Herod at all, because he kind of liked Philip's wife, Herodias. But Herodias, when she heard about it, she went wacko. And she said, I nurse a grudge against this man, John, and I want him killed. But Herod feared John and protected him. But then one day there was the opportune time. Herod had a big birthday party. And as a part of the birthday party with all the military and the very, very important people of the kingdom, he also had a girl who came in and entertained them with good food, but also entertained them with her dance. And she danced and danced, and Herod loved it, and so did his guest. And finally, perhaps with a half-drunken stupor, he said to her, this is so great, Salome, I tell you what I'll do. I'll give you one half of my kingdom, anything that you see in it, up to one half of its worth, because you've done so much for me in your dancing. So Salome hurries home and says to her mother, what shall we ask for? Herod has said that he will give us up to one half of his kingdom, anything that we want. And Herodias didn't miss a beat. She said, tell Herod, we want John the Baptist's head on a platter. When that news was brought to John the Baptist, he was really a doomed man. He was going to die. Herod had a terrible time with this. He didn't want to really kill him. He wanted to have him around. But what else could he do? He had made a promise. A promise was that he would give the girl anything that she wanted, up to a half of his kingdom. So the executioner was called, and Herod gave the order, bring me John the Baptist's head. The man went out and did that, and in due time, he came back and presented the head to Herod. And when the people who were disciples of John heard this, they went out and buried his body. But from that day on, you can be sure that Herod lived with guilt. And so that comes to all of us, not to this degree. Hopefully, I'm not preaching to any criminals like this today. I may be preaching to a criminal, but you do not have that attitude. So, I believe that our Lord Jesus Christ wants us to get a good look at our guilt, and then he wants to show us how we can live with it. The same thing is going on today. Just recently, I read an article where a man got up on a Sunday morning and took his gun and went to a church and shot the preacher, and then he fled. And they found him 3 hours later in a larger community. What do you think that man did between the time of shooting and being found? What kind of a spirit must he have had? One of hate, one of fear, and one without a doubt of guilt. But how did he solve his problem? How did he think he was going to solve it? He was going to run. Run away from it all. They would never find him in a big city. But the guilt went right along with him. We have other ways of hiding our guilt, getting rid of it, handling it in our own way. We can say, for example, we are people who live good moral lives, and once in a while we may slip a little bit, and this shouldn't bother us so much because the good outweighs the bad. But we know that that is not a solution. We too run from it. Remember when you were a little child in school and you did something that wasn't right? I can recall many of these, which I will not bother you with today, but I can remember little things like that, and I was guilty. And every time that I saw that teacher and I had done something that she didn't want me to do, I had a real guilty feeling. I did a few things at home, I'm sure, that made me feel guilty towards the orders that my parents had laid down, and there were not many of them, but there were some. So I wanted to escape it. But if I were caught, for example, what would you do? Well, you would say it wasn't really my fault. Somebody else got me to do it. Herod could have said it really wasn't my fault that I'd beheaded John the Baptist. Herodias got me to do it. And Salome could have gotten into the act some way too. All different people could be blamed, but not us. No, sir, we aren't going to do that. We lie. Oftentimes we lie. We do some horrible things, and we lie our way out of it. But that doesn't do any good either. Now, I have told you the hideous part of this story. But now let's stop and think what the rest of Scripture has to say about a person who has fallen so deeply into sin that he has had a man beheaded. The writer John, a disciple of our Lord, has put it very clearly. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all of our sins. What does this mean? It means that even after Herod had done all of those wicked things, if he had just gone to Jesus, the man who was preaching now in place of John the Baptist around town, and said to him, "This is what I have done," and would have confessed his sin, truly confessed it, and let it turn his life around. Do you know what Jesus Christ would have done, even to that wretched sin, according to the gospel? If you confess your sins, it doesn't say what kind, how many, how small, how large. If you confess your sins, Christ is willing and anxious to forgive you your sins, because through the blood of Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven, and that blood was shed at Calvary's tree as a payment for the sins of the world and offered to all, but then only those who would receive him would become the recipients of it. That's the way. That's the only way to deal with guilt. And that's what we talk about today. Oh, if Herod could only have done that. If he could have gone before the Lord and said, "Here I am, Lord. I'm puzzled about you. I don't understand this message of repentance, that it can be so easy." But Herod soon found out that it wasn't easy to repent. Because a lot of those sins that we get used to and like and that we carry guilt for linger with us. We don't want to get rid of them sometimes. If we will confess our sins, then he is gracious and willing to forgive us our sin. Now let's apply it to our lives. Because we have our guilt too, don't we? Our relationships with people. Some of them that you have been on the outs with for a long, long time. And it bothers you. And some of your Christian friends have said to you, why don't you get rid of it? Or you've heard sermons preached on this, and why don't you go and make a telephone call, visit the people and say, I'm sorry, but I haven't liked you for a long time, and I want to become your friend. What if you had knelt at your bedside and say, Lord Jesus, grant me the forgiveness of my sins. I have done it. I am wrong, and it was not right at all. I come. I want to be made friends with this person. My spouse, my child, my parent, my brother, my sister, a host of friends. We need to confess that guilt that we have carried around because of some strong feeling against another. Oh, it wasn't going to take his or her life, but it could make mine miserable. It is then, having learned how to deal with guilt, it can be taken away from us. We don't have to run from it. We don't have to try to project it to some other person. We do not need to rationalize it. Just confess it. And there need to be daily confessions in our lives. How we all know that? Because we are all sinners. So it was, in one sense of the word, a very hideous story. The beheading of a man. Not very nice, but it carried with it a blessed message. When that powerful message brought us to our knees, then here comes this lovely message that Jesus Christ would forgive Herod if he would repent. And Jesus Christ will forgive us if we will repent. That's the Savior that he is. No sin is too great. So if I talk to some of you today who have been trying to hide that sin, don't try to hide it anymore. Just give it to the Lord and let him say to you, you're forgiven. But now let me direct you in what you're to do from here on out. That's the glorious message that is attached at the end to this hideous message of the day that John the Baptist was beheaded. Amen.
Jesus, keep me near the cross, there a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain.
Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we pray that from this lesson that in parts is so terrible, we have seen the glory of your grace. And so we just pray that you will keep us near the cross, for it is only at the foot of the cross that we have relief from our sin of guilt. We know that we carry much heaviness around in our hearts from time to time, and so you have invited us in your word to come and to cast all of our cares on you because you care for us. Grant, O God, that that may not just be beautiful poetry, but grant that that may be a dynamic truth that shapes our whole life and makes us different people because we have learned how to deal with the guilt and the fear in our lives. God, we pray that the power of this text may be felt in our lives, may edify our lives to turn to you at all times. We pray that it will turn a rather sad, dreary life to one that is lifted up in the true sense of the word with the gospel. Hear our prayer that we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
You have been worshiping today with Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. We hope that today's sermon will be a light to guide you in the coming week. If this ministry meets your spiritual needs, we hope you will remember us in your prayers and with your financial gifts. As a nonprofit organization, we are dependent upon the generosity of our listeners for both prayerful and financial support. You can send a donation in any amount, and you can even make a contribution online at www.christiancrusaders.org. Please direct your gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Thank you to all our listeners who have faithfully supported this ministry. Besides donating online, you can use our website to read or listen to today's sermon, as well as past sermons. We also found on our website our slideshows about the ministry, a weekly e-newsletter preview of the coming sermon, and links to daily devotions and Bible study helps. Please visit ChristianCrusaders.org to find out all this and more. To request a CD, cassette tape, or printed copy of today's sermon, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also write to us at Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders has been broadcasting biblical truth continuously for the past 73 years.